Based upon the reading, you know that I'm going to be talking about, and I hope I do this right, I'm going to be talking on faith and works. In today's society, we have most people that profess Christ, profess that they are Christians, believe that all it takes to be saved is to have faith. That's all you need. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you have faith, then you're saved. That's it. This lesson is not necessarily as much for the audience here as it is for our children and our grandchildren. Because we need to be both example and teacher to them on what it takes to be saved. It takes both faith and works. And you notice I've got up there faith versus works, because this is what they're going to face. Faith versus works. People don't believe you have to do anything to be saved except have faith. And if you have faith, you are saved. Let's go back through history. Can anybody mention a time when God made a promise to man that there were not conditions on it, that man had to do something or not do something? Can anybody think of the time when God just said, "Believe in me and that's all you need to do"? Nobody's hands are going up. Because it's never happened. At no time did God just say, "All you have to do is believe in me." God always made or set conditions. He would make promises, but you would have to do certain things for those promises to be filled. Adam and Eve were told what? Not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Everything else is yours, but not that tree. Their one work that they had to do was not to eat that tree. And down through the history of mankind, that's the way it's been in the relationship between man and God. God says, "I'll promise you this, but you have to do this." So we're going to look for a few moments this morning at the verses in the Bible that we have read. And we're going to explore both faith and works. And I'm not used to using PowerPoint, and I've had to do my notes differently. So if I fiddle with my notes, excuse me. Faith versus works. In the reading this morning, Tom read in the 5th chapter, in the first verse of Romans, what did he read? This is interactive, people. We are justified by faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now think about that. Some people look at this and they say, "That's all I need." Some people are taught, "That's all you need." I think one of the greatest problems we have in society today is a lack of knowledge of the Bible. So-called preachers, pastors, priests do not teach the Bible. They teach their denominational doctrine. And they leave out parts of the Bible that they don't like. Thomas Jefferson at one point took the New Testament and took a razor and cut out the verses that he didn't like. That's what a lot of people do today in a lot of ways. The other side of that is James, the 2nd chapter, in the 14th verse, can faith save him? Or, excuse me, and I got that wrong, that is not the English Standard Version, saying faith without works is dead. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Question mark. It's a question. Can faith save us without our works? Romans, the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Now, do we need faith? Yes. We have to have faith. Faith gives us, as the writer of Romans says, faith gives us access to the glory of God. But is that all it says? Is that the only thing we have to do? When I was a building inspector, I had to take a lot of tests. And these tests, the questions were never as simple as they seemed. In a code book, you'll have a paragraph that tells you about a certain topic. And then at the bottom of it, it may have a row of numbers and letters. And you got to look up each one of them to get the specific answer to that specific question. You can't just look in one place. And that's the way the Bible is. The writers were talking about certain topics to certain groups at certain times. So we have to look at what else they said to other groups. So we have a complete work, a complete knowledge. We do not have, or we have access by faith to the glories of God. But as James says, we have to show our work, or our faith, by our work. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If a man is hungry, if someone is hungry, and we tell them, be fed. If they're cold, we say, be clothed, be warm. Does it do any good? Have we accomplished anything with our words? What's the old saying about words? Words are... Nobody's heard this? Words are cheap. Words are cheap. We can say anything. But it's what we do is what counts. How many of us have said, so-and-so's sick. I need to go see them. And not gone. How many of us have said, we've got somebody that doesn't have enough money for food. I ought to buy groceries. And we don't go to the store. Have we fed them? Have we visited them? No. I can bet in this audience, in this group of people, that most of us, just about all of us at one time or another, have bought a bag of groceries and set it on somebody's front porch, or taken them to the grocery store, or visited the sick, or found furniture for someone, or clothes for someone. It's not what we say. I have faith in God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if I do no more, what good has it done me? I have to show my faith by my works. Because talk is cheap. We can say anything, and it doesn't do a single bit of good. You know, I could just go through the verses I've got and not really say anything, just read them again. Tom's read them once. And we would have the lesson. Bill covered part of it this morning. But let's stop and think a little bit about the example we're setting for our kids and our grandkids. What do they see? How do they look at the gospel through us? We use the Bible as examples. We read of them constantly in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But now it's our turn. The world is not a nice place. The world tells them one thing. The gospel tells them something else. Our kids in schools face huge amounts of pressure. I think they face far more pressure than we did. Because when most of us were in school, we had teachers that taught morality. We had teachers that set an example. We had our neighbors set an example. They might not be Christians. They might not be members of the church, but they lived good lives. But you can't say that now. You can't say that the average person on the street sets good examples for our kids. They certainly don't have a good example on television and in the movies. We have to, see, did I hit the wrong button? Show our faith by our works. Okay. Romans, the first chapter and the 17th verse. The writer tells us, "For wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We have to have that faith. We can be the nicest person in the world. We can live a Christian life simply by the way we do things and what we do and how we do them. But if we don't have faith in God, it won't matter at all. We have to believe. We have to have that faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for our sins, arose, and is waiting until God gives Him the nod to come again. Faith is as important as the work. But we can't have just faith. We have to believe and do. We're going to turn over to the faith chapter. Anybody guess what that is? Hebrews 11. It was mentioned this morning by Bill. We're going to cover it a little again. Oh, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. We have to be doers of the work, not just faithful. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. And by faith, Rahab. They all had faith, but if they hadn't done something, what good would it have done them? Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain did. He did what God said. God said, sacrifice the best of the flock, not the best of the harvest. Did Cain give God his best? Yes. But it wasn't what God wanted. We cannot substitute our desires for what God wants. And that's what a lot of people in the world believe, and they teach as Christianity. We don't have to do it that way. We have to modernize. We have to bring it up to date and keep it relevant. Noah. Think about the world Noah lived in. It was so evil. it was so terrible that God said, I'm washing my hands. I'm going to get rid of everything. But Noah found favor in the sight of God. Noah, was he a shipbuilder? No. Had the world ever seen a ship the size of this? I doubt it. I doubt if Noah, before God told him what to do or how to do it, had any concept of building a ship. But Noah built. Abraham. I'm going to have to work on my PowerPoints. I don't get them all even sometimes. Abraham. Abraham was told, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. There are going to be so many people in your lineage that they'll be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the beach. You won't be able to count them. Oh, get up, leave your home, your family, and I'm going to send you, I want you to go to a place you've never seen, you don't know anything about, and I want you to live among a bunch of strangers. Now, if Abraham had faith, but he hadn't gone on that journey, where would the children of Israel have been? He sojourned in a foreign land. As was mentioned earlier today, Isaac. Think about the faith that had to take. God had promised him he would have a son by his wife Sarah. And they were old, well beyond the age when men and women have children. But they had Isaac. And God said at one point, take Isaac, go to a place I'll show you, and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham took Isaac and was ready to kill it. Isaac had said, where's the offering? Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide. And he did. But Abraham had faith in God that his promises would be fulfilled. So he was ready. Moses. Secular history tells us some interesting things about the man Moses. He was raised as a prince of Egypt. He was raised as the son of the Pharaoh for all practical purposes. Secular history tells us he was a general in the Egyptian army. That he conquered countries. His mother was his nursemaid. Undoubtedly, she told him at some point who he was and where he came from, and talked to him about God. Or Moses wouldn't have known what to do, wouldn't have had faith in God. Moses refused to be a prince of Egypt. Now, when did Moses first have acknowledgement of God, as people did in those days? I think it was the burning bush. Moses didn't want to do what he was told. He fought it all the way. But Moses did have faith, and he went back to Egypt, where secular history tells us he was under a death sentence if he ever returned. Rahab. Now think about her. Rahab believed that God had given the land to the children of Israel. She went against her own people to save herself and her family. And she did it out of faith that God was going to give them that city. Each of these people had faith. but their faith would have done them no good if they hadn't believed. Matthew, the 25th chapter, parable of the talents. We each have talent. Briefly, we know that that parable said it gave the master gave 10 talents to one and 5 talents to another and 1 talent to another servant. When the master returned, the first servant gave him the 10 talents and laid 10 more down to him. He put it to work. The same with the servant that had received 5 talents. He put down the 5 talents and 5 more. He put them to work. What did he say to those 2 servants? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What did he say to the servant that came up and said, I was afraid and I hid that talent. Depart into outer darkness. We all have talents. We all have different abilities. But if we don't use them, what good are they? Will we be as the 2 servants that used their talents and put them to work? Or will we be like the servant that had 1 talent and hid it because they were afraid? One of the hardest things for me to do, and something I am not good at, is knocking on doors. I get frustrated. I get tongue-tied. I just don't do a good job with that. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse. God will give us no more temptation than we can bear. Will He ask us to do those things that we are not capable of doing? Or will He just expect us to use the talents that He has given us to His work? Is God going to say to Kenny, Kenny, why aren't you up there preaching? No. I don't think Kenny has that ability. But Kenny has other abilities, our yard, the outside of the facility. And that, I'm not going to go into detail on any one person, but I can remember when I was in the hospital, Kenny and Harriet would show up. They would be there visiting the sick. I don't think I was the only person they did that to. We have to use the talents that God has given us. He's not going to tempt us beyond our ability, nor is He going to expect us to do things that are beyond our ability. James, the first chapter in the 21st verse. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. James 1:22. If we hear and we don't do and think we're set, we're told we are deceiving ourselves. We are not being honest with ourselves. We have to do and use the talents that God has given us with the faith we have in Him. As was mentioned this morning in the class, 1 Timothy 6 and 12, Paul fought the good fight. And if you don't think fighting is work, you don't know much. We have a daily battle with sin. And sometimes our good work is simply not giving in to it. Let's teach our kids, our grandkids, about not giving in to sin. Edmund Burke. Does anybody know who Edmund Burke is? Edmund Burke was a 17th century Irish member of British Parliament. During our Revolution, he was in Parliament and he spoke against the British policies toward the colonies, and he supported American fight for independence. One of his most famous sayings, and he has a lot, but one of his most famous sayings, because he was an educated man, evil prevails when good men do nothing. The world is a terrible place, and we have to do something. Maybe it's turning the TV off. Maybe it's turning the radio off when a song is not what we should be listening to. Maybe it's giving young people a place to gather. Maybe it's just a look. Those of you that know my dad, or knew my dad, know he had a look. And he could stop me in his tracks by looking at me. Stop me in my tracks by looking at me. Sometimes we just need to give that look. That can be our work for the day. We're about out of time. We are out of time. It's not faith versus work. It's not one against the other, as too many people in the world today believe. It's faith and works. They go hand in hand. We can have all the faith in the world, but if we don't have works that show our faith, it's worthless to us. And we can do all the great things and live a Christian life, but if we don't have faith in God, what good does it do us? It's not one or the other. It's the two together. One of the first works we have when we have faith and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we want to follow Him, we have to come forward, we have to confess our sins, we have to repent of those sins, make a statement that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then be buried in baptism. That's the first work a Christian does, is coming up out of that water. Are there any here this morning that have not been obedient to the gospel, or have something that they need to ask this congregation to assist them with? We invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing the song that has been selected.